Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
I think God's going, Michael, I got you, man. I know you're confused and you feel lame and everything. It's all right. I love you. I forgive you. Get up. Let's do this thing, man. Do better next time. Does that make sense? There's a peace and a joy that comes from this idea that God loves us even when we've jacked up. Dude, there's no way I would be up here today if it weren't for the grace of God, man. Because I'm the biggest loser in this room. I am. But God loves me anyway.
Despite all your mistakes and every regret you have, and despite all your shortcomings and bad habits and traits, God loves you. He loves you more than you can comprehend, unconditionally. He sent Jesus, his son, to die for you so you can be forgiven of all your old sins and be made new in him. Today, Pastor Michael has a question for you. How are you going to respond to Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for you? Is God's free gift of eternal life making a difference in how you're living out your life on earth? Now here's Pastor Michael in the book of Luke chapter 23 as he continues his message, The Crowd at the Cross.
These dudes are maybe a couple yards away from the foot of the cross where the Son of God is dying for all mankind's sins, right? He's providing forgiveness for everybody. He's providing healing for everybody. It's happening a few yards away and they're playing games. I'm thinking, you know, this crowd is still around today, man. People who, they've been around it so much, right? Like, how could these guys be playing games when all of this is happening just a few yards away? And then I think it's probably because they were calloused to it. Like, they were hardened to it. Like, this is just another day. It's another job. It's another dollar. It's another crucifixion. We do this all the time. Who cares? It's just another thing. And yet, I believe there's also a group of folks that can come into the church and can be here listening, and yet they could care less. The repetition of hearing about Jesus and the cross and taking communion and this religious thing we go through over and over and over, it's like after a while, we come to church, we sing two or three songs, we listen to some inspirational message, we shake a few hands, and we leave and we go on with our life. And we're not changed. I think that this particular group is in danger of missing the message of the cross more than any of the other groups. It's because they're here, they're so close, they're close to the cross, but they're far from Jesus. And I think it's just because it's just another day, it's another. And so we're seeing this mass movement of folks, especially under the age of 25, who are walking away from the church and walking away from a relationship with Jesus because they've come so long, they're just not impressed. Because we're selling this religious thing. We're not selling, this is a relationship with the Lord every day. I mean, we're not perfect within these walls. We're lamer than anybody else, but we have Jesus who forgives us and loves us, right? So there's a scripture, and most Christians, we've heard this, but it's in Revelation chapter 3. Jesus is talking. He says, I know your works, that you're neither cold or hot. How many of you have heard this verse, right? We've heard it, okay? I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm, and you're not hot or cold, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. This is a really fun one that Jesus talks about. You can't find Jesus puking too often in scripture, so it's kind of neat. When I was a kid, I was like, oh, you know, I had a translation that said, I will throw you up. And I was like, oh, that's so awesome, you know? Picturing Jesus yakking. You know what makes Jesus yawn a rainbow? You know what makes him do it? Lukewarmness. Like, he literally is like, dude, I'd rather you just be so stone cold against me, or I'd rather you be on fire for me. But don't do this halfway stuff, man. Like, actually, that's a bummer. I will gag. Just for fun, how many of you want to make Jesus gag? Wouldn't that be awesome? Oh, you okay, right. May the story of what God has done on the cross never grow old and never be taken for granted by me. And talk about, man, I've been doing this for a long time and I've preached it a long time. I've read the story 1,000 times, seen the movie, taken communion once a month for a long time. And I have to pray, God, keep it fresh, man, because this is everything. I don't want to be one of those people where it's just another day, another dollar. Amen. Okay, the fourth group I see are the curious, okay? The people, it says, stood watching in verse 35, and then in 48 it says, all the crowds that had gathered for this spectacle when they saw what had taken place went home, striking their chests. This group is the unnamed people that were there at the cross for reasons we have no idea why they were there. Okay. Maybe they were like modern day ambulance chasers and they just saw something groovy happening and it was the thing to do. There was no football game or nothing later on. So let's go see what's up. And they might've just been curious. They might've just gone there. Others, maybe like we talked about last week, the guy that had to carry Jesus's cross, Simon of Cyrene, maybe they kind of got caught in all of this. And you know, they're just trying to go to the temple for prayer and this major crowd is going up the Via Dolorosa and they got sort of caught into it. I don't know exactly why this particular group is there, but we know that they were there and that they were affected. They were affected a little bit because the Bible says that when he finally died, that they went home and it tells us that they were striking their chests, which is very interesting because that means that this has been a bummer day. That's what this means. Like, I haven't liked what I've seen. Does that make sense? I moved a little, but then it says they went home. And I was thinking, this is another whole group of people. Sometimes people come to church, they don't even know why they're here. You know, we just saw some loud, you've heard your church is doing some stuff and we're kind of curious to see what's going down and we don't believe your little fantasy, but we're there, we'll come and check it out. And so they kind of got caught up here, or maybe they got forced. Like grandma's like, now, you know, if you're gonna come and visit me in Telluride, you're gonna have to go to church and then I'll take you out to dinner. The best way to get people to come to church is bribe them with food, I promise. So sometimes people come and they're just here and they're just like, dude, when is this over, man, let's go. And they're moved a little bit. They're striking their chest a little bit, but then they just go home. So that move, that being moved a little bit didn't translate to radical change in their life. It was just a little bit of a striking of the chest. Does that make sense? All right. Just curious. Fifth group I see here is the confused. All right. It says all who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. These were those in the crowd that did know him. They knew Jesus. They had been following Jesus or whatever. One of them was his mother, Mary, okay? Mary was watching her son be murdered, okay? Just imagine that if you're a parent. That's crazy. So one of them's her. She's sobbing. She's watching her son be killed. We know she was there because in John's gospel, it tells us that Jesus looked down from the cross and he talked to his friend John and said, John, do you see my mom? She's your mom now. You take care of her. And it says from that day, she went and lived with John. And he took care of her. Does that make sense? So you got Mary there. You've got Mary Magdalene, whole nother Mary, who loved him. To her, she's watching her counselor. She's watching her comforter. She's watching her master, her teacher. She's watching him be murdered. Many people believe that Mary Magdalene is the one that was found in John chapter 8 that was caught in the act of adultery. And Jesus looked and she was going to die right there in front of him. And Jesus said some stuff and all the people left. He saved her life that day. So there's Jesus, her savior, possibly. You do have John. John at least says that he's the best friend of Jesus, right? And he's standing there and he's losing a friend. He's losing somebody. All the disciples are losing somebody that they've dedicated the last 3 years of their life to following. Imagine the disappointment. They're going, dude, we've been following this guy for 3 years and they're killing him? Like it's over? It's over? They're confused. This is not what we thought was going to happen. Like we thought, dude, we were taking over Rome. We thought we were going to win this battle. We thought we were going to... It's not how it's supposed to turn out. So they stand there helpless at a distance, it tells us. And we know earlier that they were crying. I wonder today, this part of the crowd, how many folks come in and they're just confused because they're like these folks, you know, life isn't really turned out like I thought it would turn out. When you lose someone like in a community like we just lost, someone that was very well known, those kinds of times, or if you've ever gone to a funeral, those kinds of times are very precious times because they're moments that sort of wake us up from the everyday and we sort of like, whoa, wait a minute, life isn't forever. And I'm at this point in my life where I'm going, this isn't what I wanted. It's not working out like I thought it would work out. And they're hurting. I was thinking about that this week and what we've been going through as a community. You know, if you're feeling like that today, like you're just without hope or, you know, life has kind of gone down this way and maybe you feel like you've messed up too much. You know, maybe these folks are going to themselves and I love Jesus and I've been there for 3 years. These are the thoughts that I would have just because I know my personality. I would be standing at a distance and I'd be going like, I stink, man. I failed that dude. I failed my friend. Like when they were doing the courts, I was asleep at home. Or when the crowd was yelling, crucify, I should have been yelling, no! You know, I should have done something. I didn't say anything. I messed up royally and I've let down my friend. That's what Michael would be saying. I just know me. I wonder if these folks felt like that, this particular group, the confused. If I was there that day and I was saying stuff like that, I think this is what Jesus would have said to me. He would have said, Michael, I'm up here because I wanted to be up here. I chose this. Just so you know, I chose this. Why in the world would you choose that, Jesus? I don't understand. Because I love you so much. You are worth this. And the one group out of all of the six groups I'm sharing with you here, well, at least of the first five, this is the group that Jesus spoke to. Do you know on this day earlier, he was silent before the king, before Herod. Remember, we read that a couple weeks ago. Jesus didn't say nothing to Herod. But on the road last week, we read where the women were crying and Jesus looked and he spoke to the crying women. Here from the cross, he's looking at his friend, John, and he's saying, John, it's going to be all right. You take care of my mom. Jesus on the cross speaks to the confused people. And today, that's an encouragement to me. That when I feel like I've blown it and I'm like, God, I let you down again. Here I am supposed to be this Christian, this pastor, and I've let you down again. I think God's going, Michael, I got you, man. I know you're confused and you feel lame and everything. It's all right. I love you. I forgive you. Get up. Let's do this thing, man. Do better next time. Does that make sense? There's a peace and a joy that comes from this idea that God loves us even when we've jacked up. Dude, there's no way I would be up here today if it weren't for the grace of God, man. Because I'm the biggest loser in this room. I am. But God loves me anyway. He loves losers. Amen. All right. The last group, you guys, I'm calling the courageously contrite. All right. Contrite. Again, C's. I'm trying to stick with it. Okay. Contrite means that expressing of remorse, being repentant, affected. You're affected by the things you've done wrong. And so you repent, you turn from those things, you're contrite. The Bible in the Old Testament, it says, I love this verse. It says, a broken and a contrite heart, the Lord your God will not despise. In other words, he loves it when we're at the end of us and we're contrite. We're like, God, I've blown it. Please forgive me. And I called it courageous because it does take courage to stand up in a culture, in a world where everybody is walking away from Jesus, to stand up and say, God, my sin is separated from me from you, and I don't want that. I want to be close to you right now. I don't even forget heaven one day. I'm talking about I want to be in relationship with you right now. It takes courage today to live that kind of a life. I think the guy who represents this the most, it tells us that there were two guys on either side of Jesus, right? Now, when you read Matthew's gospel, I read it to you from Luke, but when we read Matthew and Mark's gospel, it's very interesting. It says that both of these criminals were cursing at Jesus at the beginning of the day. At 9 a.m., they're mocking him with everybody else. These guys are mocking him. But Luke tells us that halfway through, 3 hours in, 12 o'clock, it's dark, one of them wakes up. One of them recognizes and realizes something about this guy hanging in the middle. And he's no longer cursing him. He's no longer resisting him. He's no longer reviling him. He's receiving him. Do you see the difference? Now, one guy's like, hey, man, he doesn't change. He's still cursing. If you're the Messiah, man, get yourself down. And then notice he says, and get us down too. I think that's interesting. Jesus, I always thought it was so interesting that Jesus is crucified between two criminals. That is just an interesting thing to me. Do you know that the whole thing, I believe, is an incredible picture for us today of what his divine plan is? And I hope I can make this make sense, okay? But 700 years before this took place, there was a guy named Isaiah. He was a prophet. And Isaiah said this in 53:12. He's talking about the future Messiah. He poured out his soul into death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. That's a big word for sin, okay? So what's going on here? 700 years before this, the prophet says, Messiah's going to come, and he's going to be awesome. He's going to do all this stuff. But I just got to let you know, he's going to be numbered with sinning people. And so for years, they were like, what does that mean? The Messiah is the chosen one of God. Like, how could he be with sinners? It doesn't make sense. Until this prophecy came true on the hill of Calvary, Jesus is there being killed among, he's being counted among transgressors. You understand what I'm saying? So this is actually fulfilling a prophetic thing about Jesus. But even more than that, I believe that it's a picture for you and I today, because as you see the Son of Man dying between two sinful men, okay, one on his right and one on his left, I think it's the same thing today. It speaks of the cross of Jesus Christ still divides humanity. It still does. Those on the right and those on the left. As a matter of fact, I want to read this passage of scripture and we're almost done, I promise. But in Matthew, Jesus himself declared this. Matthew, look at this. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him and he will separate them one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We've heard that scripture before, right? There is going to come a day, is what Jesus is saying, when he returns again for the second time. And he's going to have all of humanity before him. And he is going to separate the sheep on his right hand, enter into the kingdom of God, enter into your rest. And he's going to look at some and he's going to have them depart like he would the goats and say, you have to leave, depart from me into everlasting darkness. It's something that's going to happen. We don't like to talk about it, but Jesus himself said it. And I believe that this whole picture of the cross in between these two different men is a perfect picture of exactly what's going to be happening in the future. Because one of these guys looked at Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Please, please, please remember me. And Jesus looks at him. I just love it. And basically he says, no problem. Absolutely. Consider it done. Just consider it done. Now the other guy's like, get me off, you know, get me off this thing. And think about this. One man wants to be lifted up into paradise, go into the kingdom of God. The other man wants to get down to return to the earth so he can go back doing the things that he was already doing. And a lot of people look at Jesus this way. What can you do for me? Come on, man. Get me down on the earth, man. What are you going to perform for me and help me financially? And, you know, you wouldn't have let my mom die, God, if you were a good God. And we have all these things. We want him to get us down off the cross and put us on the earth so that we can do the things that we wanted to do. Whereas really the one who is the sheep that gets separated is the one who God says, enter into my kingdom. Again, what is a kingdom? A kingdom has a king. A king makes the decisions. A king sits on the throne. This is what a king does. And people come before him. They're saying, Master, the kingdom is overflowing with garbage and we don't know what to do. And the king goes, all right, then I want you to go take that valley over there, dig a big hole, and that's where we're going to start putting the garbage and we're going to burn it over there. So that's what you do. And they say, yes, sir. And they obey and they do whatever the king tells them to do. That make sense? That's a kingdom. Stupid example, but you follow me. When you live in the kingdom of God, you're no longer on the throne. The king is on the throne. So he might say, Michael, you need to go take care of this garbage in your life. And I say, yes, sir, I'll do that. Michael, I don't like it for you to look at pornography. That's not right. It's trashing you. It's trashing your marriage or whatever. So it's time for you to go take care of that. Yes, sir, I'll do that. You with me? It's whatever God asks to do, I have to do. Because he's the king. Michael's not the king anymore, right? It's my tattoo here. He is greater than I. He's more important than I. I'm lame. Does that make sense? Okay. Always interested me that Jesus is dying between these two criminals. Both men, by the way, both men have equal access to the Lord. Both men are in the same proximity to Jesus as they are. By the way, this has always blown me away that two people can be in church literally sitting in the pew next to each other or the chairs or wherever church you go to. You can hear the same message. You can hear about it. One person is like crying like, that's it, God, I need it. And the other person's like, and you're like, it was the same sermon, dude. Like, both of you heard it. How can one person totally receive it while one person totally resists it? It is a mystery to me to this day. I do not understand it. I really don't. You got Jesus here. Both guys hear everything going on. One guy resists, one guy receives. Interesting. One guy chooses to be courageously contrite. And God says, you're going to be with me today. You're going to be with me forever. You know, I'm thinking to myself, that's another thing that doesn't make sense about this, by the way. You know, remember the story of the woman at the well? I've had five husbands and I'm sleeping around now and I'm living with this other dude. And Jesus is like, yeah, I know, but I love you and it's okay. And the Bible says that she went and then she told her whole community, like, come and meet this guy that told me everything about myself. I read that story and I've read it a million times. And I think to myself, yeah, that makes sense. Like, it makes sense that Jesus would answer that woman's request because she could do something for him. Like, she could go and tell those five guys that she lived with. She could go and tell the whole community. Like, it makes sense to me that you would answer her request because she'll do something for you. Or like the story of blind Bartimaeus. Remember, he's blind from birth and Jesus is like, bam, and heals him and he can see and everything. To me, that totally makes sense because now everybody can see blind Bartimaeus, that he can now see, that he's testifying to the power and the miracle working power of Jesus. Like, that makes sense. Definitely answer that dude's request. He's going to do you good. He's going to help you be successful and build your church bigger. You guys following me here? It makes sense when I see some of these stories of these guys. The little guy, that Zacchaeus, that climbed the tree. The Bible says Jesus looked at him and goes, I'm going to eat at your house. And they get to the house and he's like, I'm going to give half of everything I own to the poor and I'm going to stop ripping off people. I'm like, that makes sense to answer that guy's request. He has money and he's giving half of it to the poor. Like, that's a good one. Answer that dude's request and you're going to get money. Good one, Jesus. That was smart. You know what doesn't make sense? Answering the request of a criminal, a two-bit thief who's dying, he can't do jack for you the rest of his life. This doesn't make sense to me. You know, I'm like, well, you know, you help the people who can help you. Scratch their back and they'll scratch your back. That's not this case. You know what this guy had to offer Jesus? You ready for this? Nothing. Zero. The guy can, and you know what? I was thinking about that. That's the point. That's the point of this whole story. Like, if you don't get anything else, that's it. You know what you can offer Jesus? Jack. Nothing. I can't either. But I look at him and I say, God, would you just remember me? Look at me, how lame I am. I deserve everything I'm getting. God, I deserve it. And he's like, I got you. Absolutely. Consider it done, Michael. Yeah, but what do you need me to do? Nothing. Just receive, believe, love. I got you. The courageously contrite. The one who says, I need less of me, God, forgive me of my sin. He is quick to forgive. The Bible said his mercies are new every morning. When I was a kid, I went to church every single Sunday, and then I'd go to camp in the summer, and I'd get saved all over again. I think I said the prayer like 1,283 times. Come into my heart, you know, I totally blew it, and please forgive me, come into my heart. You know, I would always pray that. And then I grew up, and I thought, man, that's not really cool that I did that. But you know what? God's looking down at me and he's going, Michael, oh, you're so funny. You're so funny, bro. Yes, I love you. I forgive you. Come on home. Come on home. On one side of Jesus, you have a guy cursing him, resisting him, dying in his sin. On the other side, you have a guy who's dying to his sin, dead to it. And in the middle, you have the Son of Man who's dying for their sin. Dying in your sin, dying to your sin, because Jesus died for our sin. Isn't that good news, man? The crowd at the cross. Listen, I don't know where you are if you're one of the religious ones and you need to stop it. I don't know. Sometimes I get so critical. Well, you know, the song didn't sound right. I feel like the keyboard was way too loud. Oh, we didn't have a keyboard. Okay, well, I'm sorry. We can be so critical. May we be those, gang, whatever group you come into, okay? I got the critically religious, the secular. Maybe you're not a Christian and you've just been sort of critical standing on the outside. I pray today, rather than just beat your chest on the way home, you would change. You'd say, God, I need you today. I don't know. Get curious. I like the curious. That's good. I want to find out more about this Jesus, more than just the stories I've heard. And if you're confused and hurting and you feel like life hasn't turned out, man, know that that's the group that Jesus talks to. And he says, I love you, man. I love you. Don't be confused. Trust me. I got it. Yeah, but the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Look what's going on. I know. But I ain't. I'm here. I'm the rock. I'm steady. Jump in with me. Amen. And may all of us, every day, die to ourselves. Be contrite. Amen.
Our time with you today on Burning Hearts is coming to a close, but that doesn't mean you have to stop studying the Word. Take some time today to review the passage from the book of Luke, and hopefully it will be a reminder to you throughout the day of Jesus' heart for you. There's so much to learn from the Gospel of Luke, and we're glad you've chosen to study it with us. Maybe today, as you were listening, you realized you'd like to hear more messages from this study through Luke. Head on over to our website, thealpinechapel.com, and find additional teachings from Pastor Michael. If you're in the Telluride area and would like to come visit us this weekend, feel free to. The Alpine Chapel meets every Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m. If you're curious about any unknowns before you come, look under the menu at thealpinechapel.com and find I'm New Here FAQs. There's some helpful information there for you. Again, that website is thealpinechapel.com. An easy way to get in touch with us for any questions or comments is by going to the contacts page. You can send us an email with anything you're wondering about, or if you just want to get in touch. Be sure to let us know you've been listening to Burning Hearts, and you can also share with us what you've been learning from the teachings. You can also submit prayer requests that you feel comfortable sharing. Although our time with you today has come to an end, we're thankful that you've tuned in today, and we look forward to our next edition here on Burning Hearts.